This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Canada, my guide to Canadian history and Canadian politics now. Conrad Black, the distinguished biographer, writing for the National Post, saying, happy birthday, Justin Trudeau, the young and ambitious Prime Minister of Canada for these last years. But now there are sharp issues to be dealt with in a new fashion, because the old fashion is, at this point, wearing thin, if I follow the headlines in the politics section of the Toronto Globe and Mail. For example, Canada-US take sharply contrasting approaches to containing Omicron. For example, Justin Trudeau's pandemic pep talks are wearing a little thin now. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Is Justin Trudeau no longer followed blindly by Canadians? Where are you in the Omicron surge? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John, and Happy New Year to you and to your listeners. It's not for me to say he's not followed, but I think here, as in the United States, we're all tired of it. You know, it's now becoming more oppressive as a bore than it is as a physical menace. It is completely incomprehensible to me how this has happened. I would have thought that all of the governments involved would say, this is a blessing. We now have a very weak variant. It's sweeping the population, and it raises your immunity very sharply to all versions of the virus. So if you run the risk of enduring something no more serious than a common cold or a very moderate case of an ordinary flu, and 90% of it, as I understand, is completely asymptomatic. And with that, you massively augment your immunity to any version of COVID. And then you can max that up with double vaccine and a booster, and you're really very, very safe. But instead of that, they've become hysterical. And not in fairness to Justin, it's not just him, it's the provincial leaders too. I mean, we have the same question here about the extent to which it's a matter of the federal government or the what they're called provinces, as you know, in Canada instead of states, but they have comparable powers, only slightly greater. And so there's a division of authority, but they've all lost their heads and are going back to trying to shut things down, keep the children at home for a couple of weeks and this kind of thing. It's just foolishness. But yes, I would say that here, as in the United States, people are suffering from COVID alarm fatigue, and they're more fed up with the bungling of the politicians than they are with the actual virus.
Quebec's Bill 96. I've learned this from you, so I understand now that the Canadian Constitution was not approved by Quebec, but Quebec's Bill 96 is imposing a French mandate, at least as far as I understand it, on the federal government. Does Justin Trudeau favor this two-language culture?
Justin is a champion of bilingualism, as his father was. Biculturalism, it's called here as well. But he's not prepared, it seems, to take any risks with national sentiment in Quebec by trying to uphold the right of the English language, which has existed since the Battle of the Plains of Abraham in 1759 in Quebec. And so we have this absurd situation where, as you say, Quebec has not actually ratified the Canadian Constitution as it was patriated in its amending formula by Justin Trudeau's father in 1981. While in fact Quebec abides by it, and the modified version that Pierre Trudeau produced is only at slight variance with what the statute was prior to that. Property and civil rights are a provincial question, and yet the province now of Quebec is saying that federal government offices and the offices and workplaces of federally chartered corporations, which are roughly speaking interprovincial ones like banks and railways and so forth, those workplaces are now all French speaking. And people may, obviously, under the general right of liberty of expression, speak English, but no one has the right to imagine that they can go to even a federal government office in Quebec, like a post office, for example, and speak in English and be responded to in English. These are, I admit, technical matters, but you just imagine it. If, say, the state of Texas, so roughly comparable, second most populous state, if people were informed there that they could no longer get an English reply even from a federal government office in Texas, a post office or
it would make me feel as if I was in a foreign country. Is that the intention?
Yeah, well, that's how you feel in Quebec. And now, in practice, most Quebecers are reasonable, and they do make an effort personally to communicate with whoever it is that's trying to be in contact with them. But they're not nasty people as people. But this is pernicious, and it is a serious breach of basic freedoms in this country. If English speaking people in Quebec, the language of 70% of Canadians, and speaking a language that has had an established right in that province for 170 years almost, by which of course I mean 260 years, not 170, then all of a sudden they don't have that right anymore. I mean, and Justin is just pretending it has nothing to do with it.
Energy policy for Justin Trudeau. The European Union is now blessing natural gas and nuclear energy as an investment in green energy. Justin Trudeau's energy policy, is it paradoxical? We have a couple of minutes.
Look, I think you have put your finger on something that's doubly important here. For Europe to take that position, that means that this whole push for sustainable energy is about to collapse. Everyone recognizes that you're not going to get there with solar panels and windmills. And so it's a tremendously important thing in the world for the entity of the EU of 400 million people or whatever it is, even without Britain, and important countries like Germany and France and Italy and Spain and Poland and so on. And as for Canada, Justin has gone cock-a-hoop on the whole business of sustainable energy and cracking down on carbon emissions, even though, of course, carbon dioxide is essential to life itself. The whole thing is nonsense, as you know. But although we all dislike pollution, of course, but I would say this gives him a perfect exit, whether he has the acuity to recognize that this is a real way forward for him to follow in the footsteps of the Europeans. I don't know that, but it certainly should be done.
Would he build nuclear energy plants in Canada? Would he build them in Quebec?
I think the answer is that he might build them in Quebec in order to accommodate Quebec's desire not to have a pipeline. But it would give him a face-saving method of taking his foot off the throat of the oil and gas-producing region of the country, which is Alberta and Saskatchewan in the west. So I think that would take the pressure off, both financially and in terms of internal relations within the country. So this is an opportunity for him, but I'll be very interested to see if he takes it, and frankly a bit surprised if he does, because that government has shown no imagination or flexibility on that issue at all, none whatsoever.
Happy birthday, Justin Trudeau, the son of Pierre Trudeau.
He's a very nice man. I do wish him a happy birthday.
Pierre Trudeau was a very successful prime minister. I was in Montreal during the troubles that Pierre Trudeau solved, and it's good to remember him. At the same time, we congratulate his son at the beginning of another year for Canada in the third year of the pandemic. Conrad Black, writing at the National Post about the present Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.